you like it?
No.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Yaakov, for the Divrei Zikaron. I was Zoche. I remember once to meet Rav Nachman Klein before I moved to St. Louis. I sat next to him at a Shiva house, actually. And although people were there in a Shiva setting, but he immediately took the spotlight and was sharing various Divrei Zikaronis of the various Rosh Yeshivas and Gedolim that he had been in contact with. He had many stories, of course, and chizik to share with everybody that was there for the Shiva. And I just left being awe-inspired, and only shortly afterwards is when I moved to St. Louis and realized that that was the father of a mayor. He's Zichrei Baruch. So today's shir is the sugya of Yayin Poiter Kol Minei Mashkin. Although it happens to coincide well, the name of the shir, with the secular date. The reason why, though, we chose this sugya has nothing to do with the secular date. It has to do, actually, with this is the sugyas that the Amud Week program has recently learned, past week, the Gemara. It travels through a couple of blot in Brachas, but we're going to focus primarily on the first page here in source number one of the Gemara on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, going to Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is in the middle of a discussion. The halacha is of, usually we know each and every food requires its own independent bracha, unless you're eating two foods which have the same bracha and you had a mind for both of them. But in a typical sense, if I made a ha'etz on an apple, I'll have to make a shahakol on my drink. It doesn't make a difference. Everything requires its own bracha. However, as we're familiar with, there are certain scenarios where a person's at a meal setting where he could just start the meal with the hamotzi and then he could go on and not make any other brachas during the rest of the meal. And the Gemara is in a discussion of how much or what exactly does the hamotzi cover. And we're not going to focus so much on the halachas of hamotzi, but just for the background, we have to know this idea, which is starting in the Gemara over here in the middle where it's bracketed off. Itmar was taught in the Beis Medrash, the Amoraim were discussing if you're middle of a meal, so you've washed already, and it was brought before you, avil lefneim te'enim va'anovim, was brought figs and grapes before you. Now, these are not considered meal-type foods. They're extra, they're separate to the meal, so do you have to make a bracha or not? And the Gemara gets into three opinions. Rav Huna says it requires a bracha rishona, but does not require a bracha achrona because benching will patter it, but it requires its own first bracha because it's not meal-based. Rav Nachman says it requires a bracha rishona and not a bracha achrona. And Rav Shesha says, no, it requires a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. There's only one exception to this rule, where Sheshu says pasa baba kistin, which is a discussion on itself, what exactly that entails. We're not going to get involved with that right this minute. So basically, at this point, we have three opinions in the Gemara. Two are exactly the same. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman hold that even though if I'm in the middle of a bread meal, I still am required to make a bracha rishona on certain fruits that are brought for the meal. And Rav Sheshu holds even a bracha achrona. Then the Gemara middle says, all these opinions, all these amarayim are pligid de Rav Chiya. They all argue on Rav Chiya. The Amar Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya says, pas poteres kol minei maicha. Rav Chiya has a sweeping statement that bread paters all types of food, no matter what it is, and yayin poter kol minei mashkim. Although no one previously was discussing beverages, but Rav Chiya has an opinion as well that wine absolves any other beverage from a drink. So let's digress for a minute. First of all, as we pointed out a moment ago, the Gemara here is discussing Amoraim. There are three Amoraim, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes. Who was Rav Chiya? Is Rav Chiya an Amora or a Tana? The Gemara, those who learned Daf Yomi, the Gemara in Ayin Aleph and Bava Metzia, a couple weeks ago, Daf Yomi said that Rav Chiya is Tana who Apolog. Rav Chiya is a Tana. He was the one who was Masada the Brises. So if Rav Chiya is a Tana, how could it be that Rav Huna, Rav Shesha, and Nachman, who all Amoraim, are going to argue on a Tana? That usually is not the case. We don't have a Amoraim arguing on a Tana unless they have precedent in a Tanaic statement as well. So this is an interesting concept. The Yad Malachi, which is Klolim, gives general principles for understanding. Gemara explains that Rav Chiya was on the border, similar to what Rav was. Rav was also on the border, where they were sometimes a Tana and sometimes in Mo. They lived in that sandwich generation, so to speak, where they were part-times considered a Tana and sometimes considered an Amora. But how do we know if the statement attributed to Rav Chiya is a Tanaic statement, or is he saying something as the power of an Amora? So it's the Yad Malachi points out, it's just very simple based on how the Gemara prefaces it. Anytime it says Amar Rav Chiya, the word Amar in this context would always mean Rav Chiya is talking as an Amora. Anytime it says Tani Rav Chiya, he'd be talking as a Tana. So there's a slight nuance in how the Gemara introduces Rav Chiya. We'll know if Rav Chiya is coming with the power of a Tana or Rav Chiya is coming with the power of an Amora. So in this Gemara, where the Gemara prefaced Rav Chiya saying Amar Rav Chiya, So that leads us to understand that Rav Chiya here is only acting as an Amora, so it makes sense how we can have a Machlokas. Rav Chiya could be arguing with his contemporaries or slightly after him, but in the same, group of Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, and Rav Sheshes. And again, so Rav Chiya says, pas absolves all food, and wine absolves all beverages. Now, what's the setting of wine? If we're talking about in the middle of a meal, we know the halacha is that any beverages we drink during the meal, anyway, a regular beverage, you have a soda, you have a seltzer, you have a juice, all these things anyway are typically absolved in the bracha of Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, because the Gemara has a principle, we don't have a meal, there's no suda without drinking, it's automatically included. And therefore, just like the bread absolve all other foods that come that are suda related, that are related to the meal you're having, so too any other typical beverage absolves is absolved in the bracha of the bread. So simply, this must be talking about a setting where there is no meal. You're just sitting down on a regular Tuesday afternoon, so to speak, drawing a good cup of wine, and you also happen to have a coffee next to you or any other drink. So you make the bar priagafen on your delicious cup of Cabernet Sauvignon or something, I don't know, some other fancy type of wine, and then you will absolve any other drinks that you have in front of you, or according to some posts, coming from that in front of you if you have it in mind. Okay, simply, the Gemara is going to make a distinction, which is actually, of course, it's going to be Machlokes Rishayna, we'll get to it shortly. But let's assume for now, we're discussing all brachas, Rishayna and Achrayna. The Gemara then, where it's not bracketed off, gets on to a continuing of discussion of how we paskin regarding the main discussion of the Gemara, which was foods that are coming within a bread meal. It's important to know that rest of the Gemara, but it's not important for us right now, so that's why I didn't put it in the brackets. The Gemara towards the bottom of the page, which is towards the bottom of number one, concludes with the following question they asked Ben Zoma. The Gemara says, Sha'alu as Ben Zoma. They asked Ben Zoma, if everything is included in the bread, so why isn't wine included in bread? We just said if you're drinking a seltzer, you're drinking a soda, orange juice in the middle of your meal, you drink a coffee, it's included in your bracha on bread. So why isn't wine included as well? The Gemara answers, it transitions from Aleph on Beis, from Beis on Aleph. Shani, Yayin, wine is different to Gorein bracha la'atzmo. Wine has its own independent bracha, which is, of course, also in Machlokes Rishonim what exactly this means. For simplicity's sake, right now we'll go with Rashi. Rashi explains that wine, we often make a blessing on wine even when it's not in a meal setting. Even if you don't need to drink it, so to speak, or if you don't want to drink it, but nonetheless you make the bracha, like by Kiddush, Havdalah, other settings, we know every Sudas Mitzvah, every Chasana, Bris Milah, everything, there's always a cup of wine there. So wine is the king of beverages, so to speak, and therefore wine always requires a bracha, even in the middle of the meal. It's too chashuv to be included in the regular meal. That's the Gemara for now. And the question is, how do we paskin? Like we said, the Gemara started off in the beginning, three Amorayim, who all said the discussion of discussing a food in the middle of a meal. None of them were discussing wine. The Gemara said that all these Amorayim are arguing in Rav Chiya, who's discussing food and wine. And then the Gemara goes on to discuss Rav Papa's halacha, which we didn't discuss right now, that we paskin, how we paskin regarding the food. But the question is, how do we paskin regarding the wine? If a person has a cup of wine and makes a bar priagafen, do we say that it absolves the other beverages or not? So the first taisvis, which is on the upper half of number one, I'm trying to say that more clearly, where it's bracketed off on the right side, taisvis deramaskal v'yayin poiter kol minei mashkin, towards the end of taisvis, the last couple of lines of taisvis says, the last four lines, the less hilchas kavah say we do not paskin like Rav Chiya. Why? Says Taisus Shaharei mi pas poiteres. The first part of the statement of Rav Chiya that bread absolves all other food ain halacha k'maisa. We do not paskin like Rav Chiya. Ela kipsak Rav Papa. Like the Gemara discussed, we paskin like Rav Papa that only foods that are intrinsic to the meal are absolved by the bread. So therefore concludes Taisus imkain. So too game ha de ka'amar. That which the Gemara also concluded and said, Yayin Poiter, less Hilchas HaKavaseh. So Taisus makes a simple equation. Rav Chiya had a two-part statement discussing food items at a meal and discussing wine. From the fact that we don't paskin like the first part of his statement, because the Gemara says everyone argues on him, that not everything is absolved in the bread, so too we won't paskin like the second part of the statement. It's pretty straightforward, and therefore, seemingly from this Taisus, if we walk away, it would seem like that we do not paskin like the second part of the statement of Rav Chiya as well, and therefore, on a regular Tuesday afternoon, if I'm drinking a cup of wine, it would not absolve any other beverages, halacha, according to Taisus. However, a quick glance at a later Taisus, which is on the bottom part of number one, I just bracketed off one part of that Taisus. Taisus is in a larger discussion there, but Taisus said where it's bracketed off, he says on the left side, V'hashta, yayin, poiter, kol minei mashkin. Now, says Taisus, however, we establish that wine absolves all other beverages. Why, says Taisus? Taisus gives a svara, a reason for this. Lefisha ikar mashkehu, wine is the main beverage. Vuhu reish lechol minei mashken, it's the head of all beverages. Here in St. Louis, we're familiar with the king of beers. Taisus calls wine the king of beverages, right? Hu reish lechol minei mashken. Therefore, v'lekachu ikar. Therefore, it's the main. V'hein tfein alay, and therefore, everything is secondary to wine l'inyin bracha. So, the mefarshim around the Gemara, the Marshal, Tzlach, Pnei Yeshua, all busy that the simon is a stira in Taisus. There's a contradiction. The first Taisus we read said we don't pask in this Gemara. The second Taisus not only says we pask in the Gemara, but is even giving a svara why we go like this Gemara. That's a great conversation for a different time, how we reconcile these two seemingly contradictory statements of Taisus. But at least what we're going to take away from here is that Taisus, the second Taisus, saying we do pask in this halacha and gives the svara for it because wine is considered the best, the cream of the crop of beverages, and therefore if a person would make a blessing over the wine, he makes a bracha, he will absolve any other beverages. That's the Gemara with Taisus. In source number two, we have the Rush. the beginning part of the Rush is going through the Gemara. The last line or so, where it's bracketed off in the Rush, I'm just going to quote the last line. The Rush says, even though the other Amoraim argue on Rav Chiya's halacha regarding bread, the Gemara never brings any dissenting view. No one argues on Rav Chiya on the Gemara. And therefore concludes the Rush. So the Rush is passing like the second Taisus that we had, that we passing that the wine absolves all other are the drinks. There's a Rush later, which I didn't copy, which says the same idea as Taisus, the same Svara, that because wine is considered the king of all beverages. Okay, so at this point we have Taisus and the Rush, the second Taisus and the Rush, both passing that we like this a member of Rav Chiya. Although we reject the first part of Rav Chiya's statement, we do this open heart surgery, so to speak, we reject the first part of Rav Chiya, but we are sticking with the second part of his statement. In source number three on the next page, we have the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah on the back of the Gemara and Brachas. And here, he says similar to the Rush, but he adds a little bit more to address Rabbi Florence's question. I'm just reading now the last line of where it's bracketed off. He says, Kivan shebirech ala yayin, since you made a bracha on the wine, shoyse kama mashkin achem, you could drink multiple beverages afterwards. Ain't sarach lach, so the varach lach, you do not need to make another bracha because the birchas hayayin poteres lifneyem ula achreim. So Ben Yonah adds in those two extra words that the Rush didn't write specifically, but seemingly at this point we don't need to make a machlekes about it per se. But the Rabbi Yonah is adding that we pask in this halacha that wine absolves all other beverages from their bracha rishona and from the bracha achrona. So again, typical scenario, you're sitting down Tuesday afternoon, a hard day in the office, you want to take a cup of wine, and then immediately followed by a cup of coffee. The only bracha achrona that you go, the only bracha rishona is bar pri agafen, and the only bracha achrona would be ala gefen, as long as you had enough wine, assuming that you did, as long as you had a share of a revius. Okay. Fine, so that's how the Rishonim are lining it up so far. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch Paskin in source number four. We're familiar, many of us, with this halacha, that it's in Simen Kuf Ayin Dal Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, without any other dissenting opinion. Yayin Poiter Komin Emashkin. Wine absolves all beverages from drinks. And the Ramah adds, Afilu Bibracha Rishonim, even from the first blessing. The reason why the Ramah puts us in is because he's coming off of Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef actually brings an opinion of the Rekeach, one of the Rishonim who hold that wine only absolves you from a ladder, from the bracha achrona. Interesting opinion, we're not going to discuss that so much, but the Rekeach would hold that if I make a bar pri agafen on wine, I would, yes, have to make a shahakal on my coffee, but or orange juice, whatever else I'm drinking, but I would only make one bracha achrona. The Ramah is just clarifying that we don't paskin like that, and we paskin for all brachas that are absolved from the wine. Okay, so at this point, if you walk away, you drink a cup of wine, you have absolved any other beverage. We'll have to clarify exactly what constitutes a beverage and what constitutes wine. Stay tuned. But at this point, wine absolves all of the beverages from bracha rishayna and bracha achrayna. The problem is, in source number five, the Aruch Shulchan raises this great length, is that although we said Taisus, the Rosh, Rabbein Yonah, seemingly are all saying that we paskin like Rav Chiya, however, the Rambam doesn't mention it, the Tur doesn't mention it, the Rif doesn't mention it, so we have many of the Gedolei Rishonim who are seemingly going like the first opinion of Taisus, that since we don't paskin like Rav Chiya in the first part of his statement, that bread always absolves all the other food, so therefore we will not follow The second part of Rav Chiya's statement, that wine absolves all the beverages. And Aruch Shulchan and others are very disturbed. So why is this Shulchan Aruch going down without a debate? The Shulchan Aruch should maybe quote another opinion, especially the Shulchan Aruch. He usually follows the opinion of the Rambam and the Rif and the Gedolei Rishonim. You know, the typical formula for the Shulchan Aruch is he'll take the three big Rishonim, Rambam, Rif, and the Rush, and he'll go two out of three. And if two out of three pasken one way, he'll go like them. But here we have the Rambam and the Rif, both not paskening like Rav Chiya, only the Rushes and Rabbeinu Yonah. So why does the Shulchan Aruch go like the opinion of the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah over the Rambam and the Rif? And the Aruch Shulchan is really very bothered by this question. And the best that he says, it's about halfway through, he says that it must be the logic of the Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah is compelling that the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah is compelling that the connection between wine and all other beverages, there's a stronger connection between bread and non-Suda foods. Like bread and fruit is too far connected. That's why you would have to make a separate bracha on fruit as opposed to wine and other beverages. But he's not really giving a big svar for it. He's just saying you must say like that. You must say that there's some strong connection between wine and all beverages stronger than bread and any other food item. And he concludes the last couple of lines before the small print. He says, Ulefi zeh. Really, the Aruch Shulchan says, I mean, the last couple lines have a sveika d'dina. Really, it's a suffik in din, how we should paskin. But Lamaisa, since it's a suffik in bracha, suffik in the rabbanon, will go lahakal. So it seems like if you walk away from the Aruch Shulchan, this halacha, although we paskin it, is not so compelling because many Mishon don't paskin like it. And he says, but okay, it's the rabbanon, we can go lakula, and therefore we will not require you to make an additional bracha. But he seems like, you know, he's not so happy. If it was up to him, so to speak, it would seem like he wouldn't be promoting this halacha so much. But nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch paskins it. And the Aruch Shulchan, of course, is just explaining some of the background and saying it's difficult on the other Rishonim. He ends off with a fascinating idea we'll get to a little bit later. In the small print, within parentheses, he says, the Aruch Shulchan says, Yesh l'estapik. We could raise a doubt. Im gam hashoymim bracha birchas bar pri agafen. If people who are just listening in a typical a kiddush setting, on a Shabbos morning, you're just the bystander. You're just listening to the Rav or somebody else make Kiddush. V'yetzu b'brachasa, and you're fulfilling your obligation with their bracha. Im gam b'hem poiter kol minei mashkin. Could I also absolve myself from now making a bracha on the soda or any other beverage if I didn't drink any wine? Kishloi shasu mikaisha bracha. He quotes a Tais in Pesachim, which is a mistake. It's not kuf. It's kuf aleph amid aleph ayin sham. And we'll get to this again a little bit later. But Aruch Shulchan is raising a question as to whether or not, if you don't drink the wine, but you're being yaitze with the wine because that's fulfilling your obligation of Kiddush, whether or not we can say that you have also absolved any other beverages. Okay, but let's just walk away at this point. Right now, we have the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. We have the Aruch Shulchan raising a question about that Pesach, but nonetheless, we're of course upholding that Pesach, and we're going to pass that Yayin Poiter Kol Minei Mashkin. Interesting, in the next page, in Source 6, I copied from a tshuva, Oilas Yitzchak. It's written by Rav Yitzchak Ratzavi. He's a contemporary. He's one of the big paiskim for the Taimani community in Eretz Yisrael, for the Yemenites. The Taimanim are known to always follow Shitas HaRambam. They always go around no matter what. They had their Messiah for Dairi Dairis. And the tshuva over here is not talking about wine. He's actually discussing a tshuva that he was asked about what is the minig by Taimanim. When they do tfilas kelim, when they toivel their kelim, do they make a bracha or not? Because the Rambam does not quote a bracha of al tfilas kelim like we make, the Ashkenazim, and most far to make. And the questioner over here in the tshuva is asking, what should be the minig by the Taimanim? Should we make a bracha or not? The Rambam, if we go strict Rambam, we should not make a bracha. So what do we do? And he gets involved in a whole discussion. And then parenthetically, on the side, he points it, which I copied out from, he says, V'karoiv l'nidon didon, in a similar discussion about this shiloh, who inyan, this is the same topic of that the halacha is, and the noig alma, the custom is, that wine patters all beverages. And he's very disturbed because we're the Taimanim, he's saying, we shouldn't go with this halacha because the Rambam doesn't quote the halacha, he doesn't quote Rav Chiya's statement. But he says, nonetheless, it's the minig kavu already in Klal Yisrael, and therefore he just says, we're going to go with it. He doesn't give any svara why the Taimanim should also go with it as well. But just this interesting point that even the Taimanim, who are usually true always to the Rambam, nonetheless, according to this Tshuvas Oilas Yitzchak, even they will follow this halacha, and they will also paskin Yayin Poiter Kol Minei Mashkin. So again, just to recap, at this point, we have the Gemara, which introduced us to Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya had a two-part statement, one about that bread absolves all food, any food brought into the meal, which the Gemara clearly rejects. We only say meal-like, Suda-like foods are patterned in bread. The second statement of Rav Chiya
that wine absolves all beverages. There's no machlekes about it in the Gemara, but the Rishonim are arguing whether or not we'll pass like Rav Chiya or not. We said the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the second Tosfos do yes go like this part of Rav Chiya's statement. The Rif, the Rambam, and other Rishonim do not go with Rav Chiya's statement. The Shulchan Aruch, Rav Paskin, to Yayin Paita Kol Minei Mashkin, and that's the halacha ulamaisa that Yayin absolves all other beverages. Now,
What is an example of a non-Suda type food?
The Gemara gives an example of Ta'anim, figs, or the two examples of the Gemara. Right. The Gemara's two examples were figs and grapes.
Well, okay. Honor of Zaidi would just throw in that he held, in his Masar was, I'm sure from Shiva, but and he held that you don't make a bracha on any dessert.
Any desserts, well, right. Okay, yeah. Any bracha, any dessert. Okay, that's a discussion unto itself when we say
what
we
don't. I didn't want to start.
Yeah, that's true.
But since you brought it up,
I want to discuss. So what, when we say wine, what does wine mean? Does wine mean necessarily alcoholic grape beverage? Does wine mean even grape juice? Does it have to have started the fermented process, not started the fermented process? What constitutes wine when we say wine is wine and that'll absolve all other drinks? So I'll start with a story in source number 7. It's from a Sefer Harei Kedem. Many of us are familiar with the Sefer. It's the notes of a Rabbi Shurkin from a Shiurim from Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. But in the back of the Sefer, besides Shiurim from Soloveitchik, he puts in many stories that he himself experienced with many Gedolim. And he writes there a story that happened with him on Chol HaMoed Pesach Tovshin Nun Gimel 1993. He went to visit with his wife and children, Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman's grandson married Rav Shurkin's daughter. And so they were related through marriage, almost mechutanim. And he went to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman together, to be makabel pnei rabbi beregel. And the family sits down, Rav Shlomo Zalman brings out some, it was a Pesach, so it's not so much you can serve your guests on Pesach. So he brings out some nuts and some grape juice. And they get involved in some discussion, some halachic discussion. For whatever reason, Rav Shlomo Zalman had to step out of the room for a minute. And who do you know walks in? Rabbi Yashiv walks in. Rabbi Yashiv also wanted to come visit Rav Shlomo Zalman on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't in the room, so Rabbi Shurkin started discussing with Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal the different halachas of Simchas Yontif, how you mekayim the halachas of being happy in Yontif. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yashiv points to that grape juice bottle on the table and says, Nishmit das, but you can't be mekayim Simchas Yontif with grape juice. It's good to drink, but Rabbi Yashiv held that's not a din of yayin. You need yayin for Simchas Yontif. And Rav Shurkin concludes the story. He doesn't know what Rav Shlomo Zalman held. He didn't ask Rav Shlomo Zalman if he held that where you can be mekayim Simchas Yontif with grape juice, or he was just serving it as a for his guests. And when they came to visit him on Chol HaMoed, he didn't know.
Is this why the sefer is called Harei Kedem?
Yeah. Well, nothing to do with that, but that's a good idea. Okay. But even though from that story, we don't see particularly where Rav Shlomo Zalman's shita was, we'll get to Rav Shlomo Zalman's shita more. On the next page, we have a copy from the Sefer, the number 8. Source number 8 is from the Sefer Shiurei of Rav Yashiv on Brachas, written by his Talmidim. And there, they bring down, Rav Yashiv's opinion was that grape juice is never like wine. And that's for many halachas. First of all, this was going on the Gemara we discussed before, of Rav Chiya's halacha of Yayin Poyter Kol Minei Mashkim. And the Rishonim there, he quotes the Rishonim like we spoke out. And Rav Yashiv explained, reading from the first paragraph on the right side, Zel dafka yayin, that's particularly but wine, sheesh le maila, which has a specific benefit, shem esameach elekim v'anoshim. He's quoting in Gemara that wine gladdens the Almighty and people, meaning it has chashivas because it's for karbonis. Wine is brought with many of the karbonis, and it gladdens the heart of people because it's mishaker. Therefore, Rav Yashiv said, anytime we discuss wine in halacha, it means wine. How much alcohol content? Okay, I don't know, it wasn't getting so particular. I guess as long as there's some something there that'll have that idea that there's some simcha to it. But Rav Yashiv was of the opinion that when we discuss wine, patas, ol mashkim, or any other halacha of something which requires wine, wine needs wine. And if you follow through, you can read it later. The Talmidim asked Rav Yashiv from the Lashon of the Levush. The Levush seems to write that the reason why yayin absolves all their beverages is because it has its own bracha. Rav Yashiv agrees that grape juice has a bracha of Bar Pri Agafen. So Rav Yashiv answered, it's true, that's what the Levush writes, but that's not the main reason. The main reason is because of Simcha, and therefore, again, Rav Yashiv held that for in order for this have this halacha of Yayin Parta Kol Minei Mashkim, you have to have real wine. The last couple words in the left column, he says, Umitz anovim ein loy ba'atzmoy chashivas, grape juice doesn't have this importance, and therefore, if you ask Rav Yashiv, this will be the halacha, that drinking grape juice, although it might be nice and it'll taste good, but you won't be able to kiddush with it. And you wouldn't, if you're having any bris or chasna or anything else like that, according to Rabbi Yashiv, seemingly by a Talmidim quote from his name, he held that grape juice gets the hagafen but never gets any of the milas of wine. I saw brought down as well in the name of Vosner Zatzal, he held the same idea, that grape juice is grape juice, wine is wine, and they're not two of the same. However, we have Shlomo Zalman and, yeah. Yeah, we actually just says because the ma'isa comes since it has a certain ma'ila. Okay, we can discuss later. Yeah, it has a certain ma'ila. They asked him that question directly. Yeah, he wouldn't drink raisins for abacuses. However,
so you can't make kiddush with them, according to them.
According, seemingly, as far as I know, I'm not sure. So he asks, what's the difference between yai megito and that? They just tell me the asked that question. He had an answer. He discussed it. Okay, but that's in a nutshell. That's Rabbi Yashiv's. That's Rabbi Yashiv's Mahalach, and I saw Avosner went a similar way. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has a big tshuva in Mincha Shlomo about grape juice. I didn't copy from it because it's involved in a lot of sugyas, but I did copy from the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, where they just sum up, bottom line, what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's opinion was. Shlomo Zalman held that grape juice is wine for almost every halacha. The only exception is for Purim. He held in order to be Mekayim, the halacha of drinking on Purim, you would have to drink wine. But for every other halacha, Shlomo Zalman held for Simchas Yontif, for Kiddush, for a chasana, for a bris milah, for any occasion. And then they throw in about halfway through the paragraph, they write, V'chein le'inyan dina, so too regarding this halacha of yayin poiter shar mashkin, din mitz anavim ki yayin. Shlomo Zalman also held that grape juice is equal to wine. So going back to our original story, Rav Shurkin writes, he was unsure what Shlomo Zalman himself held. It would seem like from the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, that Shlomo Zalman held that grape juice is completely equatable to wine. I saw in the notes of Yitzhak Kazwich Lita, who's a Reish Chabura in Lakewood, so he writes that he heard that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky as well, passing like Shlomo Zalman, not like his father or Rabbi Yashiv, and he would also was of the opinion that grape juice absolves all other beverages like wine does. However, Shlomo Zalman himself concludes that, of course, when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush and Arba Kaisis, it's still a hinder to have regular wine. But if a person, for whatever reason, can have wine, he could still be happy and satisfied with his grape juice. I would like to...
This is a side question. Let's say you want to make Kiddush. You make Kiddush with wine. You have family members who prefer grape juice. So can you make Kiddush with wine and give them grape juice? What's the preferred...
Well, there's a whole discussion of what the preferred is from there, where they should drink from. There's a mile of them drinking from what the Mekadosh made, but for whatever reason they're uncomfortable with that, then it's halakhically okay for them to drink the grape juice,
but
yes.
As the person who's making the Kiddush, is it preferable to make it on wine and give them grape juice?
It's preferable for the Mekadosh to make it on grape. Yeah, it is preferable if the wine's available and you're able to drink it, you're able to be safe with it. I would like to believe as well, though I didn't see this exactly in print, that Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita would agree to this as well. In the Sefer, in the Sfarim, Kavitz Halachas on various Moyadim, Shmuel Kamenetsky many times discusses halacha of grape juice. Shmuel Kamenetsky has a chiddush even for Purim. He holds you could be yaitze the halacha of drinking on Purim with grape juice, even though it doesn't get you drunk. He's a big promoter of grape juice for every halacha, for many reasons. So although he didn't discuss this specifically of whether or not grape juice would absolve other beverages from wine, I would like to believe from the rest of his discussions about the importance of grape juice and why we should use grape juice, I mean, as much as wine, I would like to believe that he would hold this as well. But again, I didn't see him specifically say that the halach of yayin poiter kol minei mashkim goes to grape juice as well. So just to sum up, bottom line is this is very nogeya. If a person goes to a kiddush, even if they're going to go, let's say, a kiddush in shul or a kiddush at home, and then they're going to have something else to eat or drink afterwards, according to Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Vosner, if you just drink only grape juice, you would have to make another bracha on the drinks that you're drinking, because the grape juice would not pater the beverages afterwards. However, I did see in another sefer from the Talmid of Rabbi Yashiv, they asked Rabbi Yashiv this question. He said, although he says la halacha that grape juice is not pat to other beverages, but lemaisa, since he knows other argue on him, he said the best thing, of course, is to absolve the shahakal drink with another, get a candy or something else, or a piece of herring, and make a shahakal on that, and that'll absolve the drinks as well. So, although Rabbi Yashiv was of the opinion that grape juice does not absolve other beverages, push comes to shove, he didn't want to tell people to necessarily for sure make a shahakal on it, because he knows there's a machlekes about it, and therefore he advised to make a shahakal on something else, and with that shahakal to absolve the beverages. But, so again, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, so if you're downstairs by a kiddush or any other place where you're having only grape juice, you're getting involved in a machlekes contemporary paiskim whether or not that grape juice will absolve other drinks from a beverage or not. According to Rabbi Yashiv, it will not. According to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, it will. Yeah.
You also have a problem. Sorry. There's also a problem that what the Makadosh is making, if you're being used to Kiddush, right? So if you're going to hold up Rabbi Yashiv, you have to worry about what you're making Kiddush.
Right, 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 right. Okay, 100%. Now, the next shayla I'd like to discuss on the next page, page Hey, on source 10 and 11, is how much wine needs to be drunk, or grape juice, depending on what. I'm just going to use the word wine, but don't be medayik for the way I'm saying it. I'm not trying to pass him one or the other, I'm just bringing out the machlekes. But the question is, how much wine needs to be drunk? The Gemara just said of Chiyah's statement was that wine absolves all the beverages. How much wine? Seemingly from the Gemara, from the Rishayim, what we saw, no one said an amount. You could drink the minutest amount, a medium amount, a large amount. How much do you have to drink? So the Mishnah Berurah, I just cut out some of the Mishnah Berurah over here in source 10, says, first of all, he says, Vida, where it's bracketed off, he says, Im kiddush al yayin, if a person makes kiddush on wine, v'hoitzi achein b'brachasai, and other people are being yotza with his bracha, im loy ta'amu mikosha kiddush, if the other people did not taste, from the kiddush wine, and they want to drink other drinks, the next line, Mishnah Berurah says, they tzrichim levarach ala mashkin. So first of all, Mishnah Berurah paskins, not like this Aruch HaShulchan that we saw before, who was in doubt about this. Mishnah Berurah paskins that if you're listening to someone else make Kiddush, and for whatever reason you don't want to drink that wine, you do not get this halacha that you are absolved from other drinks. And therefore, if you go to a Kiddush downstairs, and the Mekadosh, the Rav, or somebody makes Kiddush, drinks the wine, and you have nothing to drink from that wine, you go straight to the beverage table, you will have to make a shahakol, says the Mishnah Berurah, no questions asked. In the Sha'ar Tzion, which is on the bottom over there on that on source 10, Sha'ar Tzion in Tess says, who's he coming from? He's quoting from the Sefer Derech HaChaim, which is in the Sivas HaMishpat in Aruch HaChaim. And he says, Ayin Shamu Pashit, Umashma. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, Umashma Rinaid, it's implied from the Derech HaChaim, Dim Tamu Afilu Miktas Ba'alma. You only have a little sip, a drop of wine. Shuv einam tzrichim levarach al mashkin sha'acharav. According to the Sha'ar Tzion, he's saying the diik in the Derech HaChaim is even the slightest amount of wine. You just have the Mekadosh drinks and it gives you a little bit to drink, a little schnapps glaze. You get a quarter of a schnapps glaze of wine. Seemingly, according to Derech HaChaim, you're yaitze with that. Of course, you yaitze kiddush with that if you're just drinking it, b'di'evin. To absolve other beverages as well, Derech HaChaim, the way the Mishnah Berurah has been daikin it, as well holds that you'll be absolved from making a bracha on any other beverage. However, the Mishnah Berurah concludes over there, V'ayin Be'er Halacha, De'esh Lefakvik B'din Zaharbe. I'm going to raise a much doubt about this halacha, whether if you only drink a little bit, whether it will absolve you or not. However, he is saying in the Mishnah Berurah itself, he's paskining that that will work. I saw brought down the Piskei Tshuvas he brings down from, he doesn't quote who he's coming from, he just says that he heard from Zikni Talmid HaChamim that this was the minhag for many generations in Klal Yisrael before the Be'er Halacha comes out with what we'll see in a minute. Be'er Halacha is going to be machmir, but this was the minhag like the Derech HaChaim, that even if a person has a slight amount of wine, he will absolve from other beverages. However, the Be'er Halacha, which is source 11, the Mishnah Berurah and Be'er Halacha, raises great issue with this understanding that even the slightest amount. He says it's very hard to understand. Like we said, the whole logic is that wine is the roish l'kol ha'mashkim. It's the most chashiv, and it's the best and the greatest. If you only have this amount, such a teeny amount, it's hard to say that's the main, that's the greatest, that's the best, and everything else is secondary to it. You know, you drink 2 cups of soda and this amount of wine, you're going to say, well, the wine is the main thing and the soda is secondary to it. It's hard to put into that. If you have a chashiv amount of wine, says the Mishnah Berurah, at least a mole lugmov, which is a little more than an ounce, then the Mishnah Berurah says, I can understand that you can say it absolves other beverages. But just to have the minutest amount of wine, a couple of small drops or, you know, like I said before, a quarter of a schnapps cup or something, that would not be sufficient. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah comes out. He says it will be best to avoid this shaila, and therefore, if you're going to drink from the kiddush cup or from the, you know, from the mekadesh, you should have at least a mala lugmov, which I said is a little bit more than an ounce. But if you don't, Mishnah Berurah says don't fret. Either have another shahakal nearby, find some herring or candy or something, make a shahakal on that, or find someone who didn't drink from the kiddush cup at all, and he'll make a shahakal on his drink, and he'll potter you as well.
When they set up 25 little cups with wine, and it's not from the actual kiddush cup, right? It's worthless.
That's not worthless. That's okay, because you're still, because that's, although it's not from the Kiddush cup, there is a mile to get something from the Kiddush cup, but it's still, it's not worthless. But if you take only a half of that cup, then you're getting yourself stuck with this shiloh bar lachas raising.
That's considered tasting from the Yayin Kiddush.
Yeah, that would be considered the taste. Yeah, but now you're getting involved though in this shiloh. Fine, yes, correct.
20 feet away.
Fine, but you're getting stuck on this bar lachas shiloh of whether that's going to pater, whether that's going to pater you or not. So either don't drink the Kiddush wine, which is itself as a shiloh, Moshe Sternbach and Moedim Uzman and brings down from the Briskerov. Briskerov held that by Shabbos day Kiddush, if you don't drink at all from the Kiddush, you're not Yotze. That's a big Chumrah. Many Paiskim argue on it, but just, you know, there's, you're going to get stuck. You want to get the Chumrah of tasting from Kiddush, have some wine slash grape juice, right? But you don't want to have too little because then you get stuck with the shiloh of the Be'er Halacha that maybe you didn't absolve yourself. So it's very hard to have your cake and eat it too. You really have to have either a sufficient,
like a herring. That's the
right. You got to have either a sufficient amount of wine,
his
or
halacha had nothing to do with kiddush. You can make a perfect halacha.
Right, right. That's true.
Kiddush. I mean,
right.
Any time you drink wine.
Correct. Right? I'm just bringing out a scenario of kiddush. That's the most common scenario. But yeah, technically, on a regular Tuesday afternoon, same halacha. Right.
Places, even though it doesn't happen from the actual place.
Correct.
Yeah. Same status.
Yeah, we're the same. Yeah. Okay. So this. Yeah.
The issue of just volume versus giant stem or grape juice.
Yeah, I'm not discussing putting that machlekes on side for now, whether it's grape juice or wine. That's one machlekes. Now we're discussing another shiloh. The amount of drink, right? The amount that you're actually consuming should, according to the Mishnah Berurah, be at least a mala lugmov. I don't know how much of the shot glasses we have in the shul. They're different size shot glasses. They're different size. There are larger shot glasses, which for sure will be a mala lugmov. There are smaller ones, which I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what this
is. A shot is an ounce, a jigger is an ounce and a half.
Okay, so consult your local.
One ounce is mala lugmov.
A little more than 1 ounce. I think 1.1 or something like that is mala lugmov, right? Consult your Kazayas book for the exact measurement in shiur.
So can
okay.
We add grape juice to the wine to make it more than 1 ounce?
Yes. Well, for sure, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman and others who hold the grape juice is the same as wine, for sure that's okay. Even according to Rabbi Yashiv, that grape juice is not wine, they do bring down, according to Rabbi Yashiv, you could dilute your grape juice with wine. Up to, if you have 1/3 wine and 2/3 grape juice, that'll still be okay. Because he has right to it from the Gemara, we don't discuss that right now, but as long as there's some chashiv amount of wine, which 1/3 would suffice for it, then even according to Rabbi Yashiv, you would be okay with that, and you can drink your wine in that case and absolve all the other brachas with drinking a third wine to 2/3 grape juice.
What about a very low alcoholic wine, like Miskatadast?
I'm not sure, according to Rabbi Yashiv, what his minimum requirement of alcohol was. I don't know. Okay, so until now we discussed what is wine and how much has to be drunk. Now I'd like to discuss on the next page of Shaila is, what is a drink? Well, seemingly anything that pours is a drink. Okay, so we have frozen drinks. We have ices, we have ice cream, we have yogurt, we have jelly, we have chocolate pudding, all types of things which are almost like drinks, but are they drinks or are they not drinks? So first, right off the bat, let's say anything which is not a shahako, let's say you have a very chunky vegetable soup, or something else which is not going to be a shahakal, even though it might have liquid in it, that's not a discussion. That we're not discussing. That for sure would require its own blessings. The Magen Avraham on that and other paiskim, anything which is not shahakal, for sure we're not discussing. We're only discussing things which are shahakal and might be a beverage. So the first Maramakam over here is a chua from Avinsi and Abashol, Sfaradi Rav. He's not discussing our shayla per se, he's discussing in general. It was mentioned before, the halacha of desserts in general. He was being discussing the halacha of desserts by a meal. If you have ice cream for dessert and you washed, do we say that the original hamotzi covers the ice cream or not? Is ice cream a food or is ice cream a beverage? If ice cream is a beverage, then your hamotzi covers the beverage. If ice cream is a food, then, and since it's not a meal part food, it's not the steak and potatoes, meat and potatoes, it's completely secondary to the bread, it would require its own bracha rishona. That's just the question. Yeah.
Just backing up a little bit,
sure.
I wanted to ask. Hamotzi, if we're not kaveh suda, if you just, you know, make hamotzi lachman, or if you take a bite of bread, right, you're not putter everything. You're not putter the other foods with that either.
Correct.
That's right. So I'm just saying the parallel of wine.
Okay, but it's interesting, right? But there, although we said we're passing this halacha of wine, it doesn't follow the exact parallel of bread, because bread has certain limitations that wine doesn't have anyway. Okay, well, I can discuss this afterwards a little bit. It doesn't follow the exact same route. Okay. So fine. Now getting back to what exactly constitutes a beverage and what is mashke vasa mashke. So Rav Tzina Abishol has an interesting idea. He says that any milchik ice cream, any frozen milchik ice cream that's dairy, is food. Anything else that is frozen is liquid. How does he know this? He brings a very interesting proof. I'm not going to go through all the details here right now, but it's in the footnotes here in Ois Yud Beis, that he brings a raya from the halachas of Tumas Oichlim, how food contracts Tuma, that frozen beverages are like liquid still, and therefore they don't have to be mukhshar lekabel tumah, they don't have to be made ready to become tamei. Frozen milk and a couple other things in that category are like food, and therefore they have to become mukhshar lekabel tumah, they have to become ready to become susceptible to become tamei. So he says, you see that milk, for whatever reason, I'm not discussing why, once it's frozen, changes its status, changes identity. Other liquids, when they're frozen, do not change their status. Therefore, Bettina Abishol Paskins, that frozen milchik ice cream is food. Therefore, it will require a separate shahako if you're eating it as a dessert for your meal. Again, not discussing wine yet. We're just discussing a regular washing situation. However, any other liquid, frozen liquid dessert, ices or a soy ice cream or something else like that, he holds would be part of the meal, it's a liquid, I'm sorry, and therefore it is absolved with the meal. However, he says there's one other type of ice cream which is made out of egg whites, which doesn't really melt. Even when it melts, it's still a mass of food because it's not really liquidy. He holds that would also be the same halacha as food, and therefore if you're having a parav egg white ice cream, which is such a thing exists, that would also be a shahakol at the end of a meal. And he says jelly, or jello, I guess, he's discussing over there also would be like food because it doesn't really melt into anything. It doesn't melt into a liquid. It always retains some type of food-like substance. So again, according to Martina Abishol, frozen milchik ice cream or frozen egg white ice cream would be food-like, and also jello would be food-like. Frozen ices or soy ice cream or anything else, frozen dessert like that would be considered to be a mashke. Now, let's take this into our halacha of, let's say you're not by a meal. Let's say Tuesday afternoon, you're in your office, back to that setting. You have a cup, at least a revius. You drink 5 ounces of a good wine. And now you have an ices waiting to be eaten. So do you make a bracha on that ices or not? So according to Bettina Abishol, that ices, although it's frozen right now, since it's not frozen milk and it's not frozen egg whites, it will be halacha of a mashke, and that will be absolved in your bracha on wine. And this, however, Rabbi Yashiv in the next page, Paskins as well, he doesn't say exactly the same way as Rabbi Tina Abishol. He has a distinction between how you're eating your ice cream. I don't know exactly how they... I'm quite confident that Rabbi Yashiv was not a big ice cream eater. And I'm sure they had to explain to him ice cream and different frozen desserts when they asked him this shiloh. I don't know, probably not, right? And he makes a distinction. He says, depending how you eat the ice cream. He doesn't make the distinction between whether it's milchiks or parv or anything else. He says, if you're chewing the item, it's food. If it's dissolving your mouth and going down your throat as a liquid, then it's halacha of a liquid and wine with pater. So it doesn't make a difference if it's milk according to Rabbi Yashiv, if it's pariv, doesn't make a difference. It all depends on how it's being ingested.
Do you bite your ices or do you suck them?
Right, that big shaila. According to Rabbi Yashiv, wine would absolve all that. A bigger chiddush Rabbi Yashiv says, which I didn't see other paiskim say this, is that even a sucking candy, even though a sucking candy is food, but since how you ingest it, you put it in your mouth and it dissolves in your mouth, you suck on it and it goes down as a liquid, according to Rabbi Yashiv, that will be absolved with wine. Now keep in mind, like we said before, Rabbi Yashiv held wine means wine, not grape juice. So you have the chumrah of Rabbi Yashiv having to have wine in order to get this halacha, but at the same time, you have a cooler now. If you're having a lollipop or any type of other sucking candy, it will be absolved from the bracha because it goes down as food. And he held a leban. If you're not sure what a leaven is, ask any of your anybody of the younger generation. A leaven also, he held, since it pours like liquid, that would also be a status of a mashke. So halacha l'maaseh, this comes up. People often don't realize this. On Shabbos, you have your home. You start with kiddush, and let's assume that you drink enough wine to avoid the ber halachas shaila. You had wine for kiddush. Let's get the best case scenario. You had wine for kiddush. And let's say you didn't wash it. Let's change the case a little bit. You didn't wash it. You buy a kiddush downstairs, and your kiddush was on wine, and you drank a revius. You had, I don't know, 6 ounces of wine. You had all shitas. And now part of the kiddush is serving ices. So according to old pais that we're saying now, according to Rabbi Yashiv, and according to Tina Abishol, ices would be absolved. You would not make a bracha, even though it's ices. You're not drinking it as a drink per se, but either because it's just frozen water or because the way Rabbi Yashiv explains it, it goes down as a beverage, it will be absolved from the bracha. Or, let's go back, to the Shabbos table setting where you had kiddush, and you're the mekadesh, so you drank enough wine. And don't worry about everybody else at the table right this minute. And then, they had the whole meal, they washed, they had the whole meal. Then you have for dessert all types of different frozen delicacies. So always the question comes up, do you make a bracha or not? Well, you, the Mekadesh, who for sure had enough wine, will have much less of a question. It's usually probably not going to be milchik ice cream, I hope, because you just had a Shabbos Suda. I hope it's not milchik ice cream. If you had a milchik Shabbos Suda, that's a different discussion in itself. If you're having the pariv egg white ice cream, so according to Rabbi Tzion Abba Shol, you're now stuck in a question. But according to Rabbi Yashiv, it's absolved because you're ingesting it as a drink. It's dissolving. If you're dissolving it in your mouth and swallowing it like that, it's also going to be absolved from a bracha because the wine will patter it. So it could be at one table, at the same meal, you can have some people need to make a bracha on dessert and some people need to make a bracha on dessert, all depending on how they started their meal with the original Kiddush cup. If not everybody got at least a Mother Lugmov, or some people didn't want to drink from any wine, or if they only drink grape juice, so you get involved in multiple shilas when it comes down for dessert at the end of the meal. What do you have to do? You have to make a bracha on dessert or not. And it comes out also, according to Bayashev, sometimes people bring some type of candy to the table, or you can make a shahaka on the candy and then absolve all any other dessert questions. It's not so simple. If you're going to suck on the candy, according to Rabbi Yashiv, then that's also a status of a liquid. And you can't use that to absolve, you can't necessarily make a bracha on that if you're sucking it down, because if you had enough grape juice or wine to begin with, you're not going to have to make a bracha on the sucking candy. So, bottom line is that it takes a lot of thought into consideration before you sit down to enjoy Suda, to properly follow the halachas. The shir should be il nishmas of Nachum ben Shlomo Zalman and Shkaich everyone for coming.
All right.
If according to Zaidi, if you wash and then